Welcome to another episode of Touchback Talk, everyone. I'm your host, Matias Bueno, with my guest today, Nicholas Bueno. Nicholas, welcome to the show.
What's poppin'?
So, there's been a lot of news that's happening in the NFL recently related to the draft, free agency, a lot of big free agent names that were flying off the board, being signed by teams that were, some were surprises, some others not, trades going down, a lot of crazy news in the NFL. And we're going to break it all down here for you at Touchback Talk. First point of conversation, we got to get out of the way.
Yeah.
TB12 to TB. Tom Brady signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for 2 years, $25 million. Just an absolutely outstanding piece of news that rocked the football world. Similar to the likes of when Joe Montana signed for the Kansas City Chiefs. And similar to Emmitt Smith signing with the Cardinals. Longtime NFL players who are tenured for one franchise, moving on to another team towards the end of their career. Nicholas, what do you have to say about Tom Brady signing with Tampa Bay and how that changes the face of the NFL in terms of the AFC, the AFC East, the NFC, what the NFC South is now up against?
I'm just happy that the Buccaneers decided to change their jerseys. Because those jerseys were so bad. It was like they're waiting to get a real quarterback before they actually wanted to look good in public. Like, let's just try something new with Jameis Winston, and his production was as good as these jerseys. So we'll throw it all out and move on with Tom Brady. I don't know. I think it'll be fun. Like, how many years are they going to get out of Tom Brady? Two?
Maybe.
He's 43 now.
Next year, Tampa Bay would play in New England, according to the NFL opponent formula. So I can see that as being the ride out into the sunset or get crushed and be roasted for the rest of your career.
I have no issue with the Buccaneers signing Tom Brady. I guess I think it's a good deal for both sides. I guess my question would be, are the Bucs good enough to win the Super Bowl? Are they good enough to even be the second best team in the NFC South?
Well, I think that they have enough firepower to contend for a playoff spot at this point. Tampa Bay, outside of the new look Cleveland Browns, are the team that has the second longest tenure of not making the playoffs in the NFL so far in terms of an active drought. They haven't made the playoffs since 2007, the new age Browns 2002. So I think there is real potential for them to make the playoffs, considering they finished 7-9 with Jameis Winston leading the NFL in turnovers, and also the fact that he was second in the NFL in touchdown passes. So to think Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, who are two elite receivers in the NFL, Ronald Jones, a pretty serviceable running back, their offensive line, pretty decent, and their defense was very tenacious. Shaq Barrett got tagged, and he was one of the best players on the Buccaneers' defense all year. Mm-hmm. So there is potential for the Buccaneers to make the playoffs. Now, is that going to happen? Maybe, maybe not. Tom Brady fits in well with the Bruce Arians scheme. You may look at a similar example with Bruce Arians when he coached Carson Palmer and when the Cardinals went to the NFC Championship in 2015 into the 2016 playoffs. Carson Palmer was at the end of his career at that time. So Bruce Arians is a bit of a quarterback whisperer, even with guys who are a little bit vintage. And I think that there is a good mix here in that there will be a successful formula set up for Tampa Bay to progress out of the Jameis Winston era, considering the fact that Tom Brady's been very efficient with taking care of the football. He doesn't have to throw your team to victory, but if he can manage the storm, pun intended, for Tampa Bay a lot better than Winston did, I think that there's a better chance for the Buccaneers to experience success.
I think we can agree the Saints are the best team in the division, right?
For sure, yeah.
Okay, the Saints are number one, and the Carolina Panthers lost a ton of pieces, which I'm sure we'll get to about Cam Newton.
We'll get there.
And the Falcons, I think, are a weird team every year, because some years they have it together, some years they don't, but they're never a complete write-off, right? The Falcons are always in the mix. So I think best-case scenario for the Buccaneers, you surprise everyone, you win the division, and you go on in the playoffs to face the heavyweights of the NFC. Worst case scenario, you're looking at a third out of four team in the division, and you're on the outside looking into the playoff picture. Tom Brady isn't as good as you'd hope, but I can't see this team going any worse than 7-9 if everything goes wrong for them. I can't wrap my head around the fact that a Tom Brady team would go under 500. I just can't do that.
For sure, and I can't either. And even when Tom Brady was playing on the Patriots when he first stepped in for Drew Bledsoe, that wasn't the year they went to the Super Bowl. It was the next year that they did. So when Tom Brady stepped in for Drew Bledsoe, they were okay. They weren't great, but eventually they picked up steam and set on fire. But you really have to think about, like you said, he's at the end of his career. He's over 40 years old. He looked not washed, I would say, but he looked like he was
mortal.
He had, Yeah, he looked mortal, exactly. And there's a lot of signs of him slowing down against the Titans. I don't think he completed a pass over 10 yards of north-south distance. And to be honest, it looked like the Titans' defense was good. Not elite, but above average. And they made Tom Brady look very mortal. So it makes me wonder what better defenses would make him look like, considering Cam Newton's gone, but Teddy Bridgewater is now in Carolina, which we'll, like I said, we'll get to. Drew Brees is back in New Orleans. And we have Matt Ryan leading the Falcons at the helm. So the Falcons are never out of a game, I don't think. But like you said, they are a very weird team.
Yeah, they did lose Austin Hooper as well, which sucks.
But you have a really good battle of quarterbacks going on in the NFC South this year. And that will really kind of, you know, it'll create a dogfight mentality for teams that want to make it out of the division. This year, Tampa Bay was had a chance to be leading the division after 6 or 7 weeks. They blew it, and then they picked their socks up at the end. Same thing with the Falcons. The Falcons started 1-5 or 1-6, and then they propelled their way to 7-9 and beat the 49ers on the road with the craziest ending possible. So never say never in the NFC South, and I think Tom Brady's an interesting character to add into the mix of that theme that carries out the division.
Yeah, and I think the NFC West is also very interesting as well, with the Seahawks, the Niners, the Rams, and why can't I think of the last team in that division?
Cardinals.
The Cardinals, there you go. I think that's another division where it's like, really, I believe the Panthers are going to be the last in the NFC South. They lost too many pieces. They're going to be a decent team. But in that division, there's too much competition. They'll go about 5-11, 6-10.
And just remember, at home, folks, running backs don't matter personally. It just matters that you're good at running. And Christian McCaffrey can only do so much to carry the Carolina Panthers, and the rest is going to be putting the shoulders of the quarterback and the rest of the offense. And considering that Carolina will have probably the least experienced starter going into this 2020 season, I really think that that'll prove to be the Achilles heel for them.
Yeah, and they've lost a lot of pieces too. But yeah, the NFC South and the NFC West, I think, are the two most interesting divisions in football right now.
Let's move over to more quarterback conversation. Again, related to, we already talked about Cam Newton, so let's open that can of worms. Cam Newton did not re-sign with the Carolina Panthers, was not traded, was just straight up released in a very shocking turn of events. How would you say Carolina's tenure with Cam Newton has been overall in terms of its ending, its beginning, their success, their height, their apex?
Weird. Like, I don't know. I think Cam Newton is like the Andrew Wiggins of football. Like, he's super talented, and you look at him, you're like, wow, that's a quarterback. He's big,
that's
he's
strong. That's a franchise quarterback, too.
He can run, and I mean, maybe he won MVP. Andrew Wiggins is a question mark eternally, so maybe it's a horrible comparison. But the idea still remains of, like, the Panthers 1 year on top of the world, and Cam Newton's dabbing, and it's cool for 8 weeks. And everybody's loving it and losing their mind to go to the Super Bowl. And then the next year, what are they, 4-12 or something? The
Panthers, 5-11.
5-11. The Panthers are, like, with Cam Newton, they were an eternal roller coaster ride. You never knew what you were getting year to year, except for the fact that if they were good the year before, they were probably going to stink the year after. I think the Panthers did the right thing. You try to trade him. It's obviously not working out. Kyle Allen, you don't think is the guy.
And they traded him to Washington, too.
Exactly. So you get rid of him, but you don't believe in Cam. Teddy Bridgewater's available. Teddy Bridgewater, I think, is the better choice. I don't think he carries as much drama with him as well. What is that? Cam Newton trying to test out new texts on Instagram. Wow, that's the most noteworthy thing of his offseason thus far. That and his hairstyle, that he hasn't chosen to get rid of that. I don't get, like, Cam Newton, and I'm coming on hard on Cam Newton, but, like, Cam Newton is not a bad quarterback.
No, he's a franchise quarterback, and he's the best that Carolina's had in their franchise history.
But I'm not sure what he is at the same time. Do you know what I mean?
Like, for sure.
If I were the Chargers, I would feel okay, and I'm glad I'm not the person in that room. But as far as the Cam Newton to the Chargers drama goes, I'm just going to take it there because I like the Chargers, so too bad, listeners. As a fan, I wouldn't be upset if they signed Cam Newton, because I know they have limited cap space, so I know they're not breaking the bank on him, and they're probably only doing a 1 or 2 year deal, so it's like, prove yourself. Worst case scenario, he bottoms out, Tyrod Taylor's a hero regardless, because the fans are happy that somebody competent is playing. Best case scenario, you get Cam Newton playing well, and it's like, oh, this sells tickets, Cam Newton's fun, he's annoying, but he's fun. He's annoying, but he's fun. You know, he's annoying, but at least he's getting us wins. You can't stand him as a person, but at least he's getting you wins. And the Chargers are good. And you have Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Austin Eckler and these weapons on offense. And you're trying to rebuild the offensive line. And Trey Turner, who was the left guard in Carolina for Cam Newton. Worst case scenario, he sucks. And he was what you thought he was going to be and you let go of him. There's no loss there. I wouldn't do it if I was LA. I think you can be more productive with that cap space, and the draft still has to happen, but I don't think they're going to sign. But I wouldn't be mad if they did.
But you got to look at it a similar scenario with the Jaguars, right? They were trying to off Nick Foles, but they kept their cards close to their chest, and they didn't tell everyone and declare to the world that Gardner Minshew was going to be their guy going forward. Because the second they do that,
Everybody knew that, though.
But the thing is that publicly admitting that depletes all the value of Nick Foles in a potential trade, and that's the only one last shrivel of hope that you have to hang on to if you're going to get rid of him for anything worthwhile, except for straight up releasing him and taking the cap hit and with the dead money that's going to be tacked onto your salary cap for not trading him, especially for his insanely lucrative contract. And it worked, right? The Bears took the bait. They gave a fourth rounder for a guy that did nothing in 2018, and it's only good in
desperate,
one.
Though.
But you have to understand, like, it's a similar scenario,
yeah.
Right? If you
was, yeah. Cam Newton, I'm going to sound horrible for this. Was Cam Newton hurt? Is that why he lost his job, or was he just not playing?
He was hurt. Okay. So Cam Newton had a foot injury that put him out for the entire season.
Okay.
And so, but there's still value, right? Cam Newton's still a good player. He's still an above average quarterback in the NFL. And you want to keep your cards close to your chest in that you want to keep him around, and you genuinely say that and at least state it, so that if you're going to create trade talks, then you say, okay, you know, well, we still want him as our guy, but if you want to trade for him, you got to give some skin in the game. You got to offer something to sweeten the pot. But if you just say, we value Cam Newton and we want to start him next year, and then you sign Teddy Bridgewater, Cam Newton's going to be worth like a few water bottles in a trade, because now teams know you've officially moved on, except for the step of releasing him. So now no one's going to want to trade anything for him if they know that you've already moved on. And they're just going to wait till he gets released, which he did, so that someone can go sign him for cheaper than what they give up in a trade. So poor management on Carolina's side, but at the same time, very weird scenario again, like you were saying.
I disagree. I don't think it's poor management on Carolina's side. If there's a quarterback available, go get him. Who cares if other teams don't want to trade for your backup?
But you have to think about the value that you're getting in return. If the Jags would have released...
But if you believe wholeheartedly that's your guy, you don't care about a potential trade. Just go get the guy that you think is going to win your team football games. Oh, but we missed out on a sixth rounder for Cam Newton.
No, you can find
a sixth rounder other places.
But they would get more for a sixth rounder. That's the thing, is you could yield a second or third rounder.
But if nobody was giving him them, but if nobody was trading for him, who's to say they could have gotten a third or second rounder?
But at the same, like they, but they
if they could have, they would have.
Well, but they signed Bridgewater right at the beginning of free agency, so they didn't wait it out.
What if you get a little too cute with it? The Jags already had their guy on the roster. They didn't have to worry about teams signing Gardner Minshew. Teddy Bridgewater is a free agent. What if you try to get a little too cute and say, oh, Cam Newton's our guy, and then you're shopping him and you lose out on Bridgewater?
Fair.
But now you got your third rounder.
Fair. But at the same time, but also that could be turned into draft capital that could lead to a quarterback in the future as well through the draft. So I'm not sure if Carolina is necessarily convinced that Bridgewater is going to be their guy in terms of a long-term solution. That's what I'm saying.
But
is that what their intent is? Was Nick Foles supposed to be the long-term guy with the Jaguars, or was he supposed to be the stopgap that held them over till the next front office got fired so that they could draft a quarterback to start? Right. So.
Well, if you're signing a guy for 4 years, $6 million, almost $7 million a year, he's the guy.
$7 million only
a year.
Yeah, but Brady was
Four years.
But at the same
time, Brady's the GOAT.
Yeah, but you look at other quarterbacks, Jimmy Garoppolo signed, and Matt Ryan signed, and Matt Stafford signed. All the highest paid quarterbacks are at least $20 million.
So
Ryan Tannehill was signed for over $20 million.
Just because he's not signed like Kirk Cousins doesn't mean he's not the guy.
Okay, who's better? Ryan Tannehill or Teddy Bridgewater? Who'd you rather have a quarterback in the team?
Bridgewater.
Yeah, but then why would the Titans dump a lucrative amount of money into Tannehill if he's just a bridge stopgap guy?
Because maybe they don't see it like that. I'm not the Titans GM. Maybe they're seeing we're riding the wave. Tannehill's revamping his career. I think that's a mistake. Don't do that. I think this is another situation like the Jaguars with Bortles. A guy who has had a shaky career, shown glimpses here and there, not that good though, gets you one good playoff run and you slap him with a big fat check, might look nice for team morale and guys rallying behind the guy. I don't think Tannehill's that guy. I could be wrong. I very well could be wrong. I have no idea what I'm talking about. But I think it's a similar situation. You get a little too caught up in the moment. You get a little hyped up about things. And teams do this.
And for sure, that happens in all sports too. Especially with running backs.
But it's also the right thing to do.
For sure.
How could you make a deep playoff run to the AFC title game, and then all of a sudden you just don't pay anybody to come back?
No, you have to. It's almost a given, and especially with, we talk about the principle of a run, like signing running backs for big amounts of money will usually end up in you regretting the value you spent. But in reality, what are you going to do after Derrick Henry wins the rushing title and breaks playoff records for most rushing yards in a game by a Titans/Oilers player in playoff history in back-to-back games? You have to re-sign him for a big amount. You have to. You have no choice almost. If you don't re-sign him, then he's going to sign somewhere else. But if he decides to hold out and then the backup Chargers scenario, Austin Eckler or a person comes in and lights it up, then that just destroys the value of that running back.
So dumb. I will never understand what was going through Melvin Gordon's agent's head, where he's like, yeah, keep holding out even though they have two running backs behind you who are both quality players and can take your job.
And Eckler's better at in the passing game than Gordon.
I never understood that.
That's what I'm saying, right?
Like, nobody's going to offer you 10 mil. So nobody but the Chargers.
You're stuck between a rock and a hard spot. So it's a difficult scenario with Cam Newton in terms of, okay, he's gone or you're not going to get anything for him, but is Bridgewater really that guy? Do you really think Carolina treats him as, they put him on a pedestal that high?
Why would they release Cam if they didn't?
Because they had no other options.
What do you mean? They could have easily held on to Cam Newton and not signed Teddy Bridgewater. If they don't believe Teddy Bridgewater is a guy, then what the hell are they cutting Cam Newton for? That's ridiculous. Why would you cut a starter, the guy who's been there, your number one pick in 2011, to sign a dude, like a regular dude? That makes no sense.
Well, NFL teams sometimes do weird things. And
you know, here's my question.
This is all our speculation,
you're
right?
You're a GM of every NFL team right now.
Okay.
You're a GM of an NFL team. Would you take Cam Newton right now? Think of every quarterback situation in the NFL. Would you take Cam Newton over any situation you got? I'm not sure I would.
I think a few teams would.
Name them.
I know that we obviously talk about the Jaguars, like, there are some NFL analysts saying, you know, that the Jaguars could sign Jameis Winston as a competitive backup or Cam Newton to create competition. I mean, I don't think that Cam Newton will go to Jacksonville to be the guy, but I think that he would be someone that could fit in with the team in the event Gardner Minshew doesn't pan out, right? Mm-hmm. He had flashes of brilliance, but is he a long-term solution right now? Who knows? They don't really know, right? So he could go there to take the veteran lead and be there to, you know, stop the bleeding if Minshew doesn't do well, or he could be there to provide guidance for him. Mm-hmm. You know, so there is possibility, right? The Colts were kind of a wreck. Jacoby Brissett was being hailed as a franchise quarterback after six games, and then they signed Phillip Rivers after he busted, right? So is Phillip Rivers a long-term answer for them? Not at all. He was considering retirement too, right? So could the Colts not then think of someone like Cam Newton if Phillip Rivers retired? Cam Newton's not super ancient. Right?
No,
so
not at all.
The Titans, if Tannehill doesn't pan out, I guarantee you that Cam Newton could Washington.
As of right now.
I think Washington.
Isn't Alex Smith gonna come back?
No, he's donezo.
He's absolutely toast.
The injury he suffered was unfortunately too severe for him to recover fully to be playing at an NFL level again. So they traded for Kyle Allen and they have Dwayne Haskins on the roster, but I think that Cam Newton could be a fit there. Cam Newton could have been a fit in Chicago. I don't think that Nick Foles or Mitch Trubisky are a decent answer for either in either position for the Bears. And quite frankly, I think that them trading for Foles is a really bad move because they're wasting the potential of that defense and the weapons they have on offense for guys that are barely stopgap worthy. So Cam Newton could definitely fit with many franchises, considering how fast the quarterback carousel revolves in the NFL. But
that's fair. I am being way too hard on Cam Newton. I think he'd be a good fit in LA. I think he'd be a good fit in Chicago, even if they were to take a chance on him. I have no idea. Maybe even Minnesota if Cousins sucks that badly.
Yeah, so he's good enough to go summer, but at the end of the day,
he's good enough to start. He's like, an average starter in the NFL, absolutely.
You think about moving quickly over to the situation with Indianapolis Colts, right? Like we touched upon, Phillip Rivers there, former Chargers quarterback. Do you think that he's a decent answer to stop the gap in Indianapolis? Or what do you think his success will be in Indianapolis?
Yeah, I think Phillip Rivers was... The Chargers season last year was a waste for a lot of reasons, right? There was the Melvin Gordon holdout. There was the offensive line not holding up. You know, Mike Pouncey's neck. got screwed up. Russell Okung was never healthy. Forrest Lamp broke his leg by accident in the middle of a game. Sam Tevy's not good. You know, Trent Scott is not good. The offensive line isn't a good offensive line. Phillip Rivers, I think, in Indianapolis will be fine. And the Colts, it was a good pickup for them.
Yeah, these free agency moves are so speculative and so tenured with who's going to perform, how good or how bad, and because it all depends on the time, right? Depends on all the other positions that they fill in. Depends on the draft, right? The draft, we still have to await for a few weeks to see what's going to happen. And the drafts also dictate a lot of the success or sometimes failure of these teams that are taking big swings on free agents, right? When Jimmy G signed his huge contract the same year he tore his ACL in the first or second game or whatever it was and was done for the year, and the 49ers went 4-12. So there's no telling if you sign a huge contract, or even Tom Brady, like we mentioned, Cam Newton. There's no telling where they'll go sometimes or how good they will be in that future scenario. So at the end of the day, teams got to just... That's why we talk about it's important to get value for these players you release, because the only thing you're guaranteed in the NFL is just assets that you can use at your leisure. Because if you don't have assets, then you're really limited with your resources, right? So if Carolina got at least a draft pick for Cam Newton, that's better than nothing. Because if they don't get anything for him, and Teddy Bridgewater, if he doesn't pan out or is injured or something, then you really have nothing. Because Kyle Allen and Cam Newton dissipated within a span of a few weeks. So what's going to be of Carolina if Bridgewater isn't the guy? They have nothing.
You got to take that chance.
Right? So, but, I mean, if you take that chance with assets, then you're at least safe. If you get no assets in the end, then...
There's no such thing as safety. You take the... I think Carolina did the right thing. You don't believe in Newton, try to trade him. If you can't, go get the guy. Because if he's a free agent, don't let somebody else get him.
This NFL season will definitely present a lot of crazy scenarios in terms of matchups and which teams will create big rivalries because of the free agent tracking that's been going on. In terms of the draft now, we're going to quickly touch upon it. We got big board going on in terms of top prospects. There's Tua, Justin Herbert, as well as Jordan Love. Three big quarterbacks there. Chase Young, touted as the most talented prospect in the class. Number one pick, Cincinnati Bengals, Joe Burrow. Seems to be almost a lock at this point.
Yeah.
But people have been speculating about, you know, does Isaiah Simmons go in the top five because of his combine performance? Does he go later? Do teams in that range reach for a quarterback? Does Carolina now reach for a quarterback, or do they trade back? Do the Chargers go for a quarterback, or do they trade back?
The Chargers, I think, are locked to take a quarterback. I think it'll be Burrow to Cincinnati. I think Tua will go to the Dolphins. And then the Chargers will probably take Justin Herbert. He's a big quarterback, mobile. He's got a cannon attached to his body for a right arm. I think the Chargers will go quarterback, and I think Simmons will fall to the Panthers.
It's definitely very interesting to see how the draft scenario pan out. A lot of people speculated the Jags taking Isaiah Simmons, but now with his performance, who knows if he'll get that far, right? Derek Brown, defensive tackle, speculated to go a lot sooner because of that shift with Simmons. Which teams will take quarterbacks, or what quarterbacks will have to wait till the second round to go? What teams will try to acquire assets for the next year? Trevor Lawrence, it's in an already way too early mock draft for 2021, is touted as the top quarterback prospect in next year's class. Rumors have been floating around on social media, especially from Colin Coward's talk show. Are the Patriots tanking and playing 4D chess so that they can get Trevor Lawrence next year in the top of the draft? Or will they still do fine considering the fact that they've lost Tom Brady?
Yeah, apparently they actually believe in Stidham to be their guy. But then again, I'm not sure if that's legit or just Patriots talk. I don't think they are. I think they're positioning themselves. They're not stupid.
You think they're positioning themselves to draft high next year?
Absolutely.
You think so?
Absolutely. It's far too late. Or it's far too late. But it's about time NFL teams started tanking. I don't know why teams haven't done it before. Oh, because there's pride in football. Nobody likes losing. Well, your team sucks and you have no assets. Go lose. Get a good pick. There's nothing wrong with tanking in sports. I will die on that hill. Anybody who has a problem, please come message me. I'm at Bueno No Bueno on Instagram. Please. I beg you. I actually encourage it so much.
At the end of the day, if the Patriots are tanking and playing 4D chess, then I think that'll really you know, add value to your point and give ammunition, because people are going to start to believe, wow, well, if we would have been able to see this far into the future and actually, you know, swallow our pride for one season to reap the benefits for 5 years, then that's a lot better of an opportunity than just trying to bang our head against the wall just for the sake of pride and struggling to finish between higher than 7-9 or 9-7. Tennessee Titans, great example, right? Like 4 years of 9-7 in a row, or the Jags and the Browns being the worst teams of the decade in the 2010s. So teams out there, maybe there is a benefit to tanking. Maybe there is a benefit to trying to play 4D chess in terms of looking forward to the next year's draft class ahead of time, to position yourself to acquire good assets, to be in a position to have leverage in terms of picking up those top prospects or trading out and getting more assets for it. So who knows if this speculated plan by the Patriots will pan out, if this really is the plan that they have in order to bring them forward into the next era. Will this continue Bill Belichick's legacy if they were able to acquire Trevor Lawrence in the draft? Those are all questions that we have to wait and see to find the answers to.
Yeah, and it's the Patriots. They can't tank. That would be horrible for their look. So they have to position themselves. But yeah, they're tanking.
Before we wrap up here on Touchback Talk, what do you predict the Patriots' record will be then? If Adam Vinatieri in a quarterback's position is leading them at the helm?
Oh, man. They'll try to win some games. I don't know, 4-12. I'll throw a dart at a dartboard in my head of bad records. I got 4-12. That's my prediction.
I think the Patriots will go 7-9 or 6-10. I don't see them going worse than 6-10. That'll be really shocking, but
this is their Golden State Warriors year to act like they suck and then come back next year with a vengeance.
I think that there is a lot of value in that statement for sure, considering the fact that they are the New England Patriots and they've been the premier NFL team for the last 20 years. So, folks at home, don't be fooled by the Patriots being bad this year and thinking that it's all over. The worst is yet to come, like they say.
Yeah.
That's all the time we have for Touchback Talk. Thanks for tuning in, and make sure to listen to next week's episode. You're listening to 101.5 UMFM. Singing long live the night. It's a song coming on, one that everyone knows. It's a pass, it's a run, it's a secret ghost. It's the guys and the girls under those stadium lights. Singing long live the night. All the beers and the ears gonna fly on by. We're just stars holding up midnight. Take a sip, this is it. Raise them all up real.